Before we commence, I'll just let you know that Mr. Wallace, the Lord's servant, is in Luton and Dunstable Hospital for the second time in a few days with severe heart pains. But he's very lonely, and if any of the friends feel they could phone him, he would appreciate it. May the Lord help us. Our first hymn is number 673. When Jesus' gracious hand has touched our eyes and ears, oh, what a dreary land the wilderness appears. No healing balm springs from its dust, no cooling stream to quench the thirst. Hymn 673.
Let us read together for our instruction from the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 6 and 7. The Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 6 and 7. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to know that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when ye were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin taking occasion by the commandment brought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the Lord is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do I allow not, but what I would that do I not, but what I hate that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, that sin dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. The Lord teach us from his own precious and holy word, and help us in prayer. Merciful and gracious God, as we venture to call upon thy holy and worthy name, for there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Therefore, in our coming, may we find our hope alone in that worthy name. And oh, may that name speak for us. We are unworthy, vile, wretched, hell-deserving sinners. There is no soundness in us by nature. Lord, may it be then that thou dost not leave any to perish in that condition, but may it be thy good pleasure that the gracious Spirit may work in us, bringing about that new creation, that we might live no longer unto ourselves, but live as unto thee, to worship thee, to wait upon thee, that our prayer may be up unto thee, that our whole dependence may fix upon thee, that we may learn what it is to lean upon thee. May we draw every virtue, every blessing from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. May those gifts be felt and known. O Lord, we do pray that thou in mercy wilt bestow upon us, as we are gathered here this night, a crumb of mercy. Grant, Lord, that we may have, as it were, that cup of cold water to quench our thirsty souls. May it be in thy good pleasure that thy doctrine may drop as the rain and distill as the dew upon our spirit, that we may be refreshed. Grant, if it could please thee, O Lord, a little strength. O Lord, we sometimes have to say, he weakened my strength in the way, made us indeed to feel our own insufficiency, inadequacy, helplessness. But, O Lord, may we prove that our strength is of thee, and that underneath are those everlasting arms. Carry us, gracious God, through life. How shall we be overcomers, unless thou dost hold us up? Defend, O Lord, we pray, and preserve us from the enemy that would seek to overcome and cast us down, and would, if he could, bring us to nothing. But, Lord, if thou hast ordained that we should be as those that are singled out to be followers of the Lamb, those that thou hast chosen as thy sheep, those whom thou dost lead about in this wilderness, but will bring them to the fold, not one left behind, then, Lord, we may find this our consolation. Therefore, may we find grace given that we can cast our all into thy hands, believing that thou dost care for our needy souls. Lord, we pray for that preparing. Oh, how much we need to be prepared. Prepared for the things that thou hast ordained for us. It may be in providence, and, we do, Lord, know that it must be in grace. Grant, Lord, therefore, that our souls may be made ready, ready to enter into those things which thou hast appointed, ready and receiving the word, that it might be to us power and unction. Lord, we pray that thou wilt prepare us not only for the temporal blessings and the spiritual blessings that thou wilt grant to us here, but we need be prepared if in thy mercy thou hast prepared a place for us. Lord, thou hast prepared a place for a prepared people. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. Lord, we look alone to that perfect obedience, the righteousness of our Lord and Saviour to clothe us. We look to that precious atoning blood, that precious fountain open for sin, for uncleanness, to wash us thoroughly, that we may be purged with hyssop, and therefore made clean, and that thou mayest, Lord, be pleased to exhort the beggar to be a prince, to be as Jacob, who by nature was supplanter, yet through thy mercy and the imparting of that power, prevailed with God as a prince. O Lord, we pray then that we may have that blessed realization and privilege of being as kings and priests unto God, through him who is our everlasting King, our priest, master ever, be forever, as it is written, a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Having offered that sacrifice once and entered in to the inner sanctuary, heaven itself for us. Lord, could it please thee to accept us as we come to the footstool of thy mercy, and as we would plead that precious name and blood, O pardon us of our many sins, blot out our many transgressions. Could it please thee, Lord, to love us freely? And now, Lord, as we are gathered together, grant the ear to hear. Do grant, Lord, the tongue to speak. Do be with one's mouth, that there should be the uttering of those things which might be made profitable unto the souls of the people. May the word quicken and make alive, instruct and enlarge the soul in the knowledge and grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. May that word be a one or two, to bring correction, for Lord, we often need it. Oh, do Lord not leave us to wander far, if we should wander. Bring us back by the word of correction. Lord, we do pray that it may also bring comfort and peace to poor distressed souls, that they may find through the word the life and the power that they feel so much to lack. We do, Lord, pray, if it could please thee, to be with absent ones. Thou knowest the reason why they may be detained. Some with their parental responsibilities. Others perhaps that are in their infirmities and old age. Some, Lord, may be in affliction's pathway. Some may have those things concerning their secular calling, as it may be called, which necessarily do demand their time and attention. Lord, we also pray for any that have not the desire. Oh, thou canst give them a desire, and grant them a longing, that they are constrained to come to the house of God, perhaps with a who can tell, that the Lord will be gracious, or perhaps with a feeling that there may be something for them. We do, Lord, also pray for the young arising race, desire that there would be gracious to them, mindful of them in all their difficulties and exposures to this godless world. Keep them, put a hedge about them. Preserve them, Lord, from trifling with a fire, the fire of unholiness. Oh, do grant, Lord, if it could please thee, that they may have that fear put into their heart, that they may tremble at thy word, and that it may be their one concern, that the word might abide. We do, Lord, also pray for those of thy people that may be found abroad here and there, the varying gatherings of thy people, any gathered in like manner this night, we do commend them unto thee. We would remember, O Lord, thy servants in their varied labours, and some are bearing heavy burdens. We would remember, Lord, those of thy servants laid aside, or some who have had to restrict their labours because of health or other reasons. But we would, Lord, desire to commend unto thee thy servant who has been mentioned in his old age, suffering with that pain in the hospital ward. Could it please thee, Lord, to come and visit him, to visit his soul with thy salvation? May he find that there is that which brings the comfort, and that he may find the place where he is to be as a Bethel, the house of God, the very gate of heaven. So we commend him to thee. We commend also thy servant who has frequently ministered here, who through his lengthy illness and continuing now again needing that therapy, we do, Lord, commend him to thee and pray that thou wilt maintain him, for we know that what he has, there may be no real cure, but to stem the actual condition so that he may be maintained and enabled still to minister amongst the churches. And may it be, Lord, that many are helped and encouraged under his ministry. Then, Lord, we pray for others that may have come into unexpected affliction. Could it please thee, Lord, to grant thy healing? We pray for a speedy recovery, that they may take up once again those duties which may concern us denominationally and concern the church to whom they belong. Lord, we do desire to commend them into thy hands. And now, Lord, we pray that thou wilt be very gracious unto thy people. O Lord, thou knowest thy little remnant, those that sigh and cry because of the abominations that are so evident in this our dark and sinful day. Lord, we see the evils that abound in the world, that abound in our own land, no longer as once a nation that did seek to place the issues in the light of Scripture. But now, Lord, they disregard thy word. They have turned away from the keeping of thy Sabbath. They follow their own mind. And, O Lord, we see then the perverting of many issues, and men are doing what is an abomination unto thee. How long wilt thou forbear, O Lord? Yet still for thy little remnant's sake, could it please thee, Lord, to withhold thy awful judgments, but rather in mercy to turn us again. Turn us again, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Now we pray that thou wilt be mindful of our sovereign Queen, still sustain and help her, even in her increasing age. But nonetheless, thou hast maintained her with good health. We would thank thee for it. May she still be able to perform those needful duties amongst the people. And Lord, we do desire that above all, there may be found within her that true concern over her soul, and that she may consider how stands the case, my soul, with thee. O Lord, we pray then that thou wilt be very gracious. Now hear us in all these things. Pardon, Lord, what we've uttered amiss. Make up in giving where we fail in asking. Send the needful help now from the sanctuary. So we commend ourselves into thy most gracious hands. We ask it in the worthy name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 157. Mourning souls by sin distressed, lost and ruined, void of good, you can never be released but by faith in Jesus' blood. Hymn 157.
As the Lord may be pleased to help me, I would direct your attention to the epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 6, reading the 18th verse. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. The Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 6, and the 18th verse. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Maybe there is one or more here greatly exercised as to whether they are ever servants or ever have been or ever will be servants of righteousness. It seems too high for us to attain to. Is it possible to be found as one who keeps those things which are precious in the Lord's eyes? Where we are taught our own wretched, deceitful heart, to know that there is no soundness there, it may cause us indeed much concern, and can we ever be any different? When we perhaps come into the experiences of the hymn writer, like John Newton did when he said, "If I loved, why am I thus? Why this cold, this lifeless frame? Hardly sure could I be worse if I never loved his name." Indeed, it seems as though none could be a servant of righteousness feeling those things. And yet, as we read on into the 7th chapter of this epistle, we find that the apostle expresses the knowledge of sin that abounds in him. But that sin, though felt and known, yet through Jesus Christ he might obtain the victory over sin and death. The knowledge of dying is something which only the Lord's people know. They have to die to themselves that they might then live with Christ. They must be dead with Christ, that they may also live and reign with him. The work, though, is his. And here we find the wording of our text to be very significant, being then made free. We were as prisoners, chained, unable to free ourselves from our condition, which is a ruined one, though then in the days of unregeneracy we never considered it as such. We were then servants of sin. We loved sin. We walked in it. Though we may have said, "Well, I don't do anything that is wrong. I do not enter into the evils that some do. I live a good life, an upright one." Now there we find the very sin are being revealed, that of boasting. boasting of ourselves, being better than others, not being such that have broken the law. It needs the Holy Ghost to bring us to know that law. For, as the Apostle says, that he was once without that law. I had not known sin but by the law. But when the law came, sin revived, and the Apostle felt in himself that he died. He then began to die to any hope in himself, because every commandment, every word of God that was heard went as a sword into his soul. And there he found himself as being one dead to any hope. Therefore it needed one to bring hope, one to give hope, and one who could give the consolations of such a hope. And when will we know those things? When through the work of God, he makes us free. Free from sin. Now there are two things whereby we may be brought into that freedom. And we read the words of our Lord and Saviour, who said, "If the Son shall make you free, then ye shall be free indeed." And then again we read those words of the Apostle when writing to the Corinthians, he said, "Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." We need the justifying work of Christ. We need the regenerating and sanctifying work of the Spirit. It is these two things. We certainly are not made free by the flesh. The flesh may strive in varying ways to turn over a new leaf, to work some good work, try to please God, walk in the ways of conformity, religious conformity, but all those things will never be of any profit. Rather, it will be more to the felt sense of death in yourself. Rather, those things will be like rubbing the salt into the wound, to cause the smart to be greater. Oh, do you feel the smart? Do you feel the awful sense of sin there in your own soul? Well, it may cause you to cry out, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who shall deliver me?" Well, the question is answered by the apostle, I thank God, through Jesus Christ. He is the sinner's only hope. His only hope. Have you been looking to do works of righteousness from another source? Then may the Lord, by his gracious Spirit, turn your eyes. To turn your eyes off men, off the arm of flesh, of self, unto him. And in that turning, you will find there is a gracious hand. That which touches your eyes as you have sung in your ears, that you might see and hear of the Son that makes you free. Being then made free from sin. Well, let us try and consider a few things as it does concern the work of the dear Son of God. Consider first that he was given this work to do of his Father. That God might be glorified. First and foremost, God must be glorified. And he is glorified in the freeing of a poor sinner from the chains of sin. But how shall it be done? First then, he sends his only begotten Son into the world. The love that he had for his own dear Son is to be realized in the love that he has for those that were chosen in his own dear Son. Because they were chosen in him, then when brought under the fall and death and sin, there must be the redemption of those precious souls. Who could redeem? He looked, he saw there was no man. No, not the best will be able to bring redemption. Neither should it be the shedding of the blood of many beasts. Though Abel took one out of the flock and offered it up, and it was accepted. He saw by faith the need of the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. What Abel really comprehended in that, we can only conjecture. But there is one thing plain, that the testimony is that God accepted his offering. He did not accept the offering of Cain, which were the fruits of the earth. No, all the labour of Cain never brought any pleasure in the Lord's eyes. But the lamb taken out of the flock, that was a true sacrifice. And so Abel did know something of the blessedness of what was to be
set forth in such an offering. The Lord gives faith. It doesn't grow in nature's soil. Faith is the gift of God. And it is through his favour and grace that he may give us to see the one thing needful, the one thing that is precious. And that precious thing is to know the Son, to know him, whom to know is life everlasting. And if we know him, then we shall be freed from sin, because we shall view him as the one who has borne our sin, who carried our sorrows, who suffered for us, the conflicts, the opposition, the persecution, the enmity, the day of darkness, the powers of darkness unleashed upon his holy soul. Yet his soul was made an offering for sin. And for your sin, for my sin. If that was made an offering for sin, then the souls of all those for whom he bore it shall go free. And being then made free from sin, oh, what a blessing it is to know that he bore our sin in his own body upon the tree. That he fulfilled all righteousness. He fulfilled the law which we broke. The our account is a broken law. The soul that sinneth it shall die. But he kept it in every jot and tittle. Indeed, beyond that, he fulfilled all that his Father had given him to do. And he faltered in nothing, but fulfilled every aspect, so that when they tried him, they could find no fault in him. It was Pilate's confession. The only thing that they could accuse him of was blasphemy, and that was falsely. It was because of their unbelief that they accused him of it. He was the Son of God. He is the Son of God. He ever has been and will be the Son of God. O my soul, embrace the precious truth. Yes, dear soul, if you do not know that he is the Son of God, then what hope can there be of any release? But you see him also as the Son of Man. He who took flesh was made in the likeness of sinful flesh, became a man, identifying himself with his own dear people, and they may be the worst of sinners, the blackest, the vilest. And Mary Magdalene, in whom were seven devils. And Manasseh, who caused the children to go through the fire to Molech, following in gross idolatry. It would seem, despite his father's example and grace being evidenced in that godly King Hezekiah, yet Manasseh, he did not have the slightest effect until the Lord laid his hand upon him. But there such may stand, justified in the merits of the Lord, their his Saviour, Jesus Christ, the God-man mediator. There's his hope. Is that your hope? Is it my hope? Made free. Through him who would shed that precious blood, ye are bought with a price. That is how we're made free. We were captives, sold under sin, but only made free through the merits of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are made free from sin, where there is that precious blood, then there can be no condemnation. The avenging angel would not touch one of the dwellings where the blood was sprinkled upon the doorposts and the lintel. He would pass over. What a blessed consideration. Christ our Passover, made free from sin. You go forth out of Egypt, no longer under its dominion and power, and brought now to walk in the way that you're led, but you're made free. Oh, that the Israelites had realized it. They'd seen a wonderful deliverance, the hand of God, bringing them through the Red Sea, upon the dry land. The Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. They saw their dead bodies when the morning came. And there they had been delivered. A great deliverance. Soon rebelling, murmuring against Moses and against the Lord. Oh, what treacherous hearts we have. Our old nature doesn't change, but nonetheless freed. Freed from the power of it. from the power of that which may try to return us into the bondage that we once were in. But it can never be. If Christ has made us free, then are ye free indeed. And we are made free by him who is risen again. The bands of death, the bands of the grave are broken. Death lost its sting, the grave its victory. Then made free from sin. And if it is said, my dead men shall live together with my dead body, shall they arise, then we have been brought into the experience of what is written earlier in this chapter. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. I want to come. I must quickly pass on. Being made free from sin. It is the blessed work of the Spirit. First in his regenerating work to make us free from sin. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but by the word of life. What a blessing it is when the Lord begins his work. You may say, that work though, how does it begin? He will convince of sin. You never knew you were sinners until, not in his sight, until it is revealed. Oh, then the wretchedness of your own heart, you'll have to mourn over it. When the Holy Spirit brings that conviction, then however long you may labour under it, that is, according to God's sovereign time and purpose, but you may be certain that if the Lord, by his Spirit, is bringing you to know yourself, like the Scottish kitchen maid who was instructed by the minister to pray, show me myself, the Lord answered him. Oh, what a time it was when there was the searching by the very candle, as it were, of God, going into the corners, the places which had not seen light at all. Oh, the vileness that was discovered. But when taught then to pray, show me thyself. Then the Spirit showed her that resurrection of which we have just spoken of, the power of it. She could join with the apostle and say that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. That is the power of that life. But what will life do? Bring us to be sensible of our need. Now we have a need for righteousness. Now we have a need to be cleansed. Now we have a need for pardon. Now there is a plea for mercy. Now there is that brokenness of heart. Now there is that true repentance given. It's the gift of God. A true repentance, a godly sorrow over our sin, and free from sin, being made free from sin, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. The gracious Spirit then leads us into these things. Convinces of our sin, then lead to Jesus' blood. And to our wondering view reveal the secret love of God. The love of Christ will make you free when the Spirit teaches, leads you graciously into it. And now there is pardon bestowed, the child restored to its place, for indeed, as those going astray, could we be called as children? But now, He will receive us as His child, and become under the blessings of the Spirit of adoption, enabling us to cry, Abba, Father. My God, my Father, blissful name, oh, may I call thee mine. May I with sweet assurance claim a portion so divine, being then made free from sin. No longer therefore children of wrath, but the sons of salvation. And if we are sons, then heirs. Heirs of that inheritance which is prepared. And if there is an inheritance prepared, then the inheritors of it will also be prepared. And how is the preparation? It's all of grace. The Spirit working in us to will and to do of His good pleasure, granting those gracious enablings in the things which we have no strength or power to do whatsoever. There will be many times when we feel our own weakness, when we feel that we're overcome, when we feel that sense of failing, times when we have to complain of our own carnality because we still carry about that body of death. Times when we will have to mourn over our foolishness and our many sins. Yet freed from it, the power of it, and now made servants of righteousness. Made servants of righteousness. So that now It is righteousness that is our master. Who now does bring and work righteousness in us? Who will work it? Who will cause us to walk in the holy way, the sanctified way? Well, we know, as I said from the beginning, flesh won't. That won't free us and deliver us from our own self to be a servant of righteousness. No, the new nature, the new heart, that which has been worked by the Spirit's power, that is the servant of righteousness. That is how we become a servant of righteousness. Now, when the new creation, we find that there are those graces bestowed. Could we love God before? Yet now, though we may often complain our coldness, our half-heartedness, yet there is that desire to love. Oh, that I could love him more. His beauty's trace, his majesty adore. Live near his heart, upon his bosom lean. Obey his voice and all his will esteem. The desire and the longing for those things. Servants of righteousness, now you hate. You hate the things that make the Holy Spirit mourn. That which drives him from your breast. You now become a true mourner in Zion. Those are servants of righteousness. Mourners in Zion. Mourners over sin. Mourners after Christ. You may light the spells in the Song of Solomon. Find that your beloved is gone. And there is the stirring up within. You run, as it were, about the city and you cannot find him. If you've been brought into those extremities as Job was, feeling that even God was his enemy, yet we turn to that 23rd chapter and there we find him asking the question, or saying to himself, oh, that I knew where I might find him. He looked to the right, to the left, behind and before, but he found him not. Not until the Lord revealed himself. When the Lord spake, then Job was there humbled. And this is one of the fruits of that righteousness. Those that are servants of righteousness, will they continue to walk in their pride? Their old heart may, but not the new. No, this is the creature that will own the sovereignty of God, will be humbled under his hand, will acquiesce to his sovereign will say, thy will be done. And when there are those times, how infrequent they may seem to be, But those occasions when a little melting in our soul brings us to that willingness, brings us to that humbling, brings us to acknowledge we are nothing. That Christ, He is the all and in all. My all, your all. Oh, and when our all ascends, as it were, unto Him, what is the state then? A servant of righteousness. And if we are then servants of righteousness, the Spirit in working in us will work those desires that we may be, that we may yield rather our members to righteousness. Once we followed in the ways of this world, but now we desire to be found in the ways that are pleasing to God. We find an attraction to His people. We find an attraction to the means of grace. We will find an attraction to the house of God and be pleased to gather whenever we can and may be able to. There will be an attraction to worship. Oh, you say, but sin hangs heavy on my soul. Can I rise up to these things? There is that in me which seems to pull the other way. Yes. A servant of righteousness. So speaks here when he says, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. That is what he found. There's a conflict. There is the old man struggles hard to gain the conquest over grace, and oft times seems to gain the field when Jesus hides his face. But let the blessed Emmanuel come. Then all the powers of darkness will flee. And then you will have the one who is your righteousness. And you are a servant unto Him, a servant of righteousness. Oh, to be found like unto Him. Having that mind, having that desire, that longing to be clothed upon that mortality, death, that mortality might be no longer, but that we might be clothed upon that mortality may be swallowed up of life, a servant of righteousness. Time forbids me to go any further with the subject. May the Lord bless the remarks and also open our hearts unto the blessedness of being such as our text has set before us.
God willing, Dr. Sadler will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Jempson on Friday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 795. Mighty enemies without, much mightier within. Thoughts we cannot quell or rout, blasphemously obscene. Coldness, unbelief and pride, hell and all its murderous train, threaten death on every side, and have their thousands slain. Hymn 795.
Thank you.
the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.